Thank you all for being here tonight, and I look forward to a time of sharing some other verses and some songs and things like that. But we're going to focus really very quickly on what we've already quoted just a minute ago, and that is Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 through 8. And I call the title of my little devotional thought here, The Circumspect Walk. We're going to walk and we're going to look around. We're going to beware while we're walking. So let's take a look at this. What's true about growing trees and growing Christians? Well, there are three things. First of all, you have to have a healthy downward growth. That's the first thing that grows on a tree, right? It's got to have a good set of roots that can reach down and get a hold of the moisture that's in the ground. And so you want to bury it deep enough so that the roots can get started and give the roots plenty of space to spread out. And a Christian life without roots is a Christian life without fruit. And so we need to be anchored in the Lord Jesus Christ. And wonderfully, God does all that himself. We don't have to do any of that. We're going to talk about that a little bit. And then there has to be that healthy outward growth. That is abundant fruit that comes down. And, you know, I heard somebody was really disappointed that the cherry trees here in Macon don't produce any cherries. Sorry, that's just the way that it goes. These are beautiful to look at, but they don't produce any fruit. And that's sad. There's a lot of Christians like that. They're really nice to look at, but they really don't produce any of the character of Christ. So we want an healthy outward growth. That's abundant fruit in a Christian. And God will work with you on producing that in your life. And then finally, there is the healthy upward growth, and that's a strong and productive foliage. That's what gives the tree its energy, both to put in the fruit and also that be able to cause those roots to store the sugar that comes out of the tree. And so we need to have a healthy root system. We need to have a healthy trunk, and then we also need to have that foliage that will produce the fruits. Well, that's enough of a biology lesson or a botany lesson. Let's look at our scripture text. We just quoted it, but what I'd like you to do is to spend a little time with me, and I've marked it up. You should have one of these in front of you right now. I've marked this up because I want you to see a number of things. I could actually just do the lesson from right here and show you no other slides and we'd be done. But in order that we could get this right, I just marked up a few things. When I go into a Bible passage, maybe this will help you who are studying the Word of God to look for things. First of all, the first thing I look for in any Bible passage is there an imperative in the passage? Now, an imperative is simply a command. It's something that's in the Greek in the imperative mood, and it's pretty easy to find. And so we find two imperatives. They're both in red here, the word walk and the word beware. These are both commands from the Lord. The Lord says you should walk in him. And the Lord also tells us to beware something. And so I'm going to center our whole thinking about two spheres. The sphere of Christ, because you see Christ Jesus the Lord in him, in the faith, and finally down at the bottom, Christ. He's the real emphasis here. And so when we're told to walk, we are told to walk in him, in his sphere. And as long as we stay in the sphere of Christ, we're staying where we can be rooted, where we can grow, where we can produce good fruit for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so you're to walk in him. But you're also to avoid some things. And one of those things that you are to avoid are things that will destroy your faith. And therefore, he uses the word beware here, and that also in the Greek is an imperative. And so that's walking outside the sphere of Christ and the sphere of philosophy and the sphere of empty traditions and the principles of the world. We're going to find out that's angel worship. And so when we look at all of that, there are places that a Christian ought to walk, and there are places that a Christian should fear to walk. And so those are the two imperatives. Now, once we see that, I want you to notice a number of other things. First of all, and I pointed out to you all the places I highlighted here, Christ Jesus the Lord, in Him, built up in Him, established in the faith, and not according to Christ. You see here, in this passage of Scripture, the emphasis is on Jesus Christ. And as Christians, we ought to have our life bounded and circled and protected in the sphere of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see these bracelets today that are popular that say, "What would Jesus do?" Well, this is more than just "What would Jesus do?" This is "What sphere would Jesus occupy himself?" Would we find Jesus today sitting around discussing for example, are the elect? That, you know, somebody is the elect or somebody is not the elect. Jesus never once sat around talking about that kind of, sophomore theological students love to do that. But Jesus didn't go talking about who's the elect or who's not the elect. You know what he did? He went into the highways and byways and hedges and compelled men to come in to the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're talking about here mainly staying in him, circling in him. All of this has to do with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to also notice these four things that are in green here. You've got rooted, built up, established, and then this word taught right here should also be in that green. Those are four things that kind of surround this idea of walking in Him. And we're going to look at those. And what will be produced out of that? Well, the Bible says you should live your life with thanksgiving. That's an attitude of gratitude. All right. All of those things should produce an attitude of gratitude. Now, on the other hand, we've got this little imperative here, beware. And we notice the word cheat you. And I'm going to give you a better translation than that. And then the word philosophy and empty deceit. And then tradition of men, and then basic principles of the world. Those are things that we should beware. All right? With all of that said, that really is the lesson for tonight. Let's look at it very quickly. Now, the passage has two imperatives. Here's a great word. If you want to make people think you're really smart, use this word. It's peripatetic. Peripateo. This is the idea. I used to work in a Fortune 500 company, and we had a way of doing things. We called it management by walking around. You didn't sit in your cubicle and wait for people to come to you. You went out and saw to it that your people had what they needed. This is the idea of walking around, peripateo. And it literally means to walk around. And it was used in the garden of Academus, who had a school in Athens, Greece. And this is where we get our word academy. You had the peripatetic method, teaching while walking around while you were in the Garden of Academus. And so academics today still uses this term peripateo. That's to walk. And this is walking about. And it means you're walking around in a certain sphere, in a certain area that is bounded by certain things. And so we'll look at that. The second word is blepo. This is really the one of the first words you learn while you're learning Greek. And it simply means, look out, look out. You know, I remember one time my dad was crossing the railroad track and my mom was standing up on the hill and she was looking down and she saw a snake on the railroad track. And she said, "Jim, a snake!" And dad's going like, where? And he's looking all around trying to find out where that snake. Well, my mom was so paralyzed with fear, she couldn't tell him which way to go. And he, if he moved one way, he might walk into it. If he moved another, and boy, don't you bet my dad walked with Bleppo right then and there. He looked down, he looked on all sides, and when he finally found the snake, he stomped it and killed it. The idea is, you're in a dangerous place and you need to watch yourself as you're walking around. And that's the sphere that you don't want to be in. All right. So having said that, let's talk about the first imperative, walk. And it has four different characteristics that surround it. They're the words rooted, built up, established, and taught. Let's look at these words. Now, three of the words, rooted, built up, and established, are all participles. You say, what in the world is a participle? Well, participle is a word that cannot figure out. It's a verb or a noun. It just can't make up its mind. It's got some of the characteristics of a verb, some of the characteristics of a noun. And we generally, when we refer to it, we call it either a verbal noun or a verbal adjective. In other words, it acts like, it's a verb that acts like it is an adjective or a noun. And for our purposes, we're going to look at these three words right here, rooted, built up, and established, these participles, and they're very important. Something else you need to know about them is that these words, rooted, built up, and established, and taught, all four of them are what we call passive verbs. Now, passive is something you just need to remember. It receives the action. And so the idea is, you know, Kevin hit the ball. That's an active thing. But if the ball hit Kevin, I didn't do it. The ball is actually doing it to me. And so this is a passive idea. I would call it, and I've heard other people refer to it, as the grace voice. That is, it is being done for us because God never asked us to do it. Do you know God never asked us to be rooted? God never asked us to be built up. God never asked us to be established. And God never asked us to be taught. Why? Because He's already doing that. And we just have to recognize what He's doing. God is doing it for us. We're not doing it for ourselves. So let's look at each one of those four. First of all, we have the word rooted. And it comes from the word that we still use today. If you study plants or botany, this is rizao. And it's the idea of rooted or having deep roots. And it's a perfect passive participle. And this is really important. This is the only perfect we find in this passage. And when I say perfect, what that means is that something happened at a time in the past. We'll put this point right here. And then it has continuing action from now on out. One of my favorite perfects is when Jesus says to the devil, "It stands written." It is written that thou shalt not live by every the words of man, but every word that comes out of the mouth of God. So the idea here is, it was said back in the past, but it's still effective today. Now, this word rooted means that at some point in the past, this rooting took place. And I know when it did. And according to verse 6, as you have received Christ, this is the moment that you are saved. God roots you in Christ. You are baptized into the body of Christ, and because of that, it's all done for you. You don't have to root yourself in Christ. You don't have to take a course or go through certain catechism or something like that. You are placed into Christ at the moment of your salvation. And friends, you're anchored in Christ. The Bible says it that way because it has a continuing result for the rest of your life. Whether you walk with God, whether you don't walk with God, it doesn't make any difference. The moment you are saved, you are placed in Christ, and that cannot be changed by any force on heaven or in earth. So we're rooted in Christ Jesus. All right, let's move to the second word. And that word is built up. And it really comes from two Greek words, oikodemeo, and that means to build a house, and epi. And you put those two together, and it means to build upon. Once we're saved, God begins building upon us, building a house. And it refers back to that word rooted. And it says, once God has rooted you in Christ, what he now wants to do is working to build you up. Salvation is a once in a lifetime thing. You get saved, that's settled once and for all. But you know what? You have to be built up. You have to grow. You have to do, you have to become more and more like Jesus. And God wants us to become more and more like Jesus as we go along. Now, I've been saved over 50 years. And that just bowls me over every time I think about it. I've been saved over 50 years, almost 53 now, getting very close to that. I've been saved that long, and you know what? I'm not where I was. Boy, there was a time when I was not much for the Lord Jesus. But as he's gone along, he's built me up. He's made me what I ought to be. And what, you know what his goal is? To conform me to the image of Christ. Now, what he wants to do is he wants that to be a gradual thing where you gradually become more and more like Jesus. Most people, it's sort of like going to Kings Island or Six Flags over Georgia. It looks like one of those roller coaster things. You're going up and going down and going up and going down. God wants us to be constantly being built up. And we can do that through the Lord Jesus Christ if we are willing to follow after him and become like the Lord Jesus Christ. Then the next word here is the word established. And this word, be'abeu, means literally to be strengthened or to be made strong. The other day, Seth came and he dug out a place for a pad and for my wheelchair. And then he went in and went real deep in the thing, and then he mixed up some quickcrete. But before he put the quickcrete in the hole, he went and got some real rusty stuff called rebar. Have you ever heard of that before? It makes it strong. It makes it be able to stand up. And he took that rebar and twisted it and put it on the inside there, and then he poured the concrete around it. Now, what God is doing here is he is taking the doctrines of Scripture that we are learning when you come to church, and he's using this to reinforce you so that you will be made strong, strong enough to be able to stand against the trials of life. And so, while the others point at Christ, this one points to the faith or the heaven-delivered doctrines of the Bible. And this is a work that God will do for us as we walk in Christ. So he's established, he's rooted us, he's built us up, he's established us, and then finally the Bible says he's taught us. And the word here is didasko, and it's in the passive, aorist passive, and that simply means that he's been doing it from the very moment of our salvation. This is a continual thing with God. He's never stopped teaching us and desire to teach. Now, what's the problem today? The problem is that people are giving the gospel to folks and then they're not taking them under their wings. They're not teaching them. If you go to the average church and the preacher says, if you'd like to receive Jesus, come down to the front and hold up your hand and pray the sinner's prayer. And then you sign a card and they stick you in the baptistry that night. And then you say, is that what I ought to do? And they say, sure. And then, you know, 2 weeks from now or 3 weeks from now, you're not rooted. You're not built up. You've not been taught anything. You don't know anything. And then we have Lester Burboff, the revivalist, coming in. And he'll get up and tell some stories and make you sad. You go forward and you get saved again. Why? Because you've not been taught in the Word of God. And it's the job of the local church to teach the faith to our little ones back there and to our older ones here. We're to teach everybody is to be taught in the Word of God. And so this is what God's plan is for the church. Now, what will happen if this happens? Well, the Bible says we will be abounding with thanksgiving. And the idea here is that the fruit of being rooted, built up, established, and taught is that being properly rooted, properly grounded, properly nourished, and strengthened, we will have an attitude of gratitude. I don't know about you, but I can't wait to come to church every Sunday. I can't wait to hear what Pastor has to say. I've been saved 50 years. Surely I know it all by now. No, I don't. And I need to keep learning. And I have an attitude of gratitude. And if you're walking with the Lord Jesus, if you're being built up and established and nourished, what will happen is you will develop an attitude of gratitude. You know what? If you're taught like that, nobody has to beg you to give. If you're taught like that, nobody has to beg you to go share the gospel with somebody else. If you're taught like that, nobody has to say to you, you ought to do these and follow these rules or follow those. No, those things are taken care of because you have an attitude of gratitude. Now, finally, in conclusion here, let me talk about the second imperative, and this will be very quick. And that is the fact that there are dangers all around us of the empty and deceitful philosophy, traditional practices involving the worship of occult and angelic beings that was then true at that time and is certainly true in these times. And I want to just mention three things concerning this imperative to beware. First of all, the Bible says don't be taken captive. I like the King James on this better than I like any of the other translations I've read. It says, lest any man spoil you. And when you're thinking about King James, you're thinking about somebody destroying a city and taking people off captive in chains. That's the idea of being spoiled. And this comes nearer to the meaning than anyone I've seen. The best rendering is see to it that nobody makes you a spiritual captive. Do you know that one of the greatest dangers we face in this world right now is human trafficking? All around us, even in Georgia here, there are people who are being held as slaves and for some of the vilest things you can possibly imagine. And you know it's true as well in a lot of churches and a lot of educational institutions around us. This is the warning against spiritual human trafficking. See, the world, the flesh, and the devil can't take your soul now that you're in Christ. But what they can do is make you such a slave to things, especially to wrong thinking, that it will take entirely your usefulness to Christ out of the world. So the first warning is don't be taken captive. The second warning is simply this. And yes, I think this is Dave Howard here on the slide. This is a depiction of our enemies. And you know, the believers face many enemies when they step outside the sphere of Christ. Remember what Pastor said? How many gospels were there? There's the prosperity gospel. There's the social gospel. There's the psychological gospel. There's the crossless gospel. There are plenty of things out there in the world, false gospels. Well, what Paul is doing is gathering them up into two categories. First of all, empty human philosophies. Philosophos, that is the love of human wisdom. And under that we might put things like materialism. That is, that everything in the world, the only things that matter in the world are things that I can touch and see and smell and spend and use my bank account on and all of that. That's materialism. I've got to have more and more and more and more. Then there's naturalism that basically says, well, you know what? There's nothing outside of this universe. Everything you see, that's all there is. There is nothing more. No supernatural or anything like that. We throw God completely out. And then there's communism and socialism. Those are empty human philosophies. And I'll talk about what they do in just a minute. And then they're empty human tradition. These are religion. There are a lot of people today who are going to church very faithfully, putting money in an offering plate, crossing themselves. They've got the bells and the smells, and they go through all of the rituals, and they quote things in Latin or other languages, and they go away feeling like they are great. That's religion. And my friends, let me say something. There is nothing as damnable as religion. It will destroy the soul. I don't have a religion. I have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Then there's atheism, basically, that says there is no God. Agnosticism says I don't know there's a God. There's legalism that says my God is a list of rules. And there is anarchy, and that says my God is no rules at all. Now, all these have the effect of three things in common. Number one, no God out there will save us. We don't have a God. There's not a God. He won't come and help us. I'll pray to Mary, or I'll pray to Buddha, or I just won't pray at all. I don't need any help. Thank you. No, thank you, God. And then the second one, we must save ourselves. That is, if we need saving at all. And finally, that man is the be-all, end-all of everything. Everything centers around man. All of those are called empty philosophies and human traditions. And finally, in the final area we need to be aware of is this. All of these things appeal to different people. Do you know that not everybody likes broccoli? I think that's a tragedy. I love broccoli. And not everybody likes Brussels sprouts. Oh, how I love Brussels sprouts. They are so good. And you know what? Not everybody likes T-bone steak. Man, do I love T-bone steak. Now, I know some people like rhubarb, and I don't really care much for rhubarb. And there are people that like beets and everything. But the devil's got it worked out like this. He's got a little something for everybody. And so the Colossians were worshiping angels. That was according to the basic principles of the world. The Greek word is stoichiometry. And if you've ever studied any chemistry, stoichiometry happens to be one of the things in science that talking about how that different action reagents will react against agents and produce certain chemical reactions. That's stoichiometry. Well, God, the devil said, basically, I've got a little something for everybody. If the world, the flesh, and the devil are out there, and they want you to worship, oh yes, they want you to worship, just don't worship Christ. Just don't worship God. Keep your eye on something. So the devil's got something, there's like a 359 degree, and only one is right, and that leads to God, and the rest of them are complete. Now, some of them may be close to being right, and some of them may be as far from being right as you can. Here's the thing. The devil's got a little something for everybody. And what the Apostle Paul is saying here, don't walk in that sphere. Don't walk in the sphere of the world, the flesh, and the devil. Don't allow these philosophies and the principles of the world, the worship of angels, or any of those things to infect you. What you need to do is be rooted in Christ and to be encouraged or established, to be built up, and to be taught of Christ. And you do that by walking with Christ every day, by being in the Word of God and being under the sound of a godly church where you're going to hear the message of the Word of God. And may God add His blessing to this passage of Scripture in our thoughts. All right, let's get ready to pray. And as we pray, let's pray two things. That number one, as we receive Christ, that we will walk in Him. And number two, that we will beware of the philosophy and empty deceit of this world and tradition of men, that we will walk in Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that as we have examined this passage of Scripture, we're so glad You do all of these things for us. And all You tell us to do is walk in that sphere. Walk in the sphere of the Word of God. Walk in the sphere of the person of Jesus Christ. And if we do that and don't play around with philosophies of the world, don't play around with the thoughts of the devil, then, Father, we will grow and become strong in You. And for those who, Father, have fallen by the wayside, help us to be a spiritual EMT to go out to try and rescue these people so that they can be restored, because they're already rooted in Jesus Christ. And what they need is somebody to help them get back to the place where they ought to be. Thank You for the truth of Your word, and we give You praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen.